It's hard to understand, but with the Islamic State tripling in size since the United States started bombing it and drawing attention to it and declaring war on it, and them now expanding, picking up another 21 cities, towns, and villages, that we would respond to that by doing the very thing that we did that exacerbated the problem. We will continue to bomb. The U.S. President Barack Obama last week said that he would not hesitate to strike the radical Islamic group. Now, he didn't call them Islamic group. In fact, he actually said they're not an Islamic group. So this journalist needs to either correct Barack Hussein Obama or differentiate between what Barack Hussein Obama said and the truth. He said that he would not hesitate to strike because the group was using Syria as a base to advance his plan to reshape the Middle East according to its radical vision of Sunni Islam. He didn't say any of those things. I mean, can you imagine a journalist representing the President Obamanator by talking about striking a radical Islamist group when his point was that the Islamic State is not Islamic? And that he would also say that the president's plan is to prevent the Islamic group that's not Islamic from advancing its radical vision of Sunni Islam. He didn't mention Sunni in his speech. Didn't even mention it. I mean, how are people supposed to act intelligently if the information they are given is pure rubbish? The United States is conducting airstrikes against the Islamic State in Iraq, and last month Obama authorized surveillance strikes over Syria. The Islamic State fighters, armed with heavy weapons, including tanks, seized a group of villages near Kobani in an offensive which the observatory said had started on Thursday night. It said that 21 villages had fallen to the Islamic State in the last 24 hours alone. Yes, this is an interesting turn of events. The Islamic State has tanks. They have attack helicopters. They have artillery. This is radically different than any Islamic insurgency in world history. Now, where did they get these things? Two places. They were given heavy weaponry because the United States wanted to promote this myth that the Assad regime could be brought down by moderate Muslims and that we could provide weapons through a very variety of proxies, particularly Qatar, that could be used in a proxy war against Assad, not recognizing that we were indirectly repeating the stupid maneuver we made in Iraq, where America deposed a secular dictator and got a Shiite government. In this case, it would be deposing a secular dictator and getting a Sunni government, going from bad to worse after spilling copious amounts of blood and coin. But not learning that lesson, even though it was recent and fresh and raw, the United States came up with the harebrained idea that we could use a proxy army of moderate jihadists to take down Assad, only to realize there's no such thing as a moderate jihadist, only to realize that we had equipped the Islamic State, only to realize they took those weapons and brought them into Iraq, where they pulverized the Shiite army that America had spent billions of dollars equipping and training. Only to realize that when they moved into Iraq, they were joined by the awakening program of Sunni warlords and all the weapons that we had given them to keep them from joining forces, allegedly, with Al-Qaeda and here they join the Islamic State, and thereby accumulated ever more weapons. And then our plan for that is now to bomb them. When, if they've confiscated, folks, tanks and artillery and Apache gunships, what do you think the likelihood is that they possess anti-aircraft weapons? As a matter of fact, when we were arming the Islamic State under the guise that they were fighting against the Assad regime in Syria, they brought down scores of Syrian aircraft. So the Abominator now is going to fly our aircraft over them? These are really, really stupid occurrences. America creates an enemy, arms that enemy, and then turns on that ally, now enemy, and fights them. We are providing the weapons for our foes. We're funding our foes. And then we're fighting our foes. It sounds insane to me, but what do I know? As we continue with this story, those who are witnessing this said that we've lost touch with many of the residents living in the villages that the Islamic State has seized. This is the Öcalan İso, the deputy head of the Kurdish forces in Kobani. The reality here is that the Kurds lie. The Kurds lie for self-preservation. They lie knowing that if they play Chicken Little, America will direct hundreds of millions of dollars worth of weapons to them. He said the group was committing massacres and kidnapping women in the newly seized areas, giving the names of 28 members of a single family he said had been taken captive. It was not possible to verify his account. Yeah. You know, the Islamic State is ruthless. There's no question about it. They crucify people. They behead people. They march opposing soldiers out into the desert in their skivvies and blow off their heads. They rape women. They tell Christians, convert or die. They act like good Muslims. That makes them reprehensible people. But, you know, they're no worse than Muslim dictators anywhere around the world. They're no worse than any other Islamic regime. Yeah, a little more fundamentalist, perhaps, but the reality is there's nothing we can do to fix this. The only sane response is to get away. Rather than, like Obama, sending 3,000 U.S. troops to quarantine Ebola, we ought to just leave them. If they want to kill themselves, let them do so. But stop providing the weapons. If they are not given our weapons, then they may have to kill one another with whips and sticks and stones. But so be it. It's not our fight. The problem is the disease of Islam. Leave it alone. Leave them alone. Stop bombing them. Stop supporting them. Stop enraging them. Stop funding them. Stop arming them. Leave them alone. It is by far the most sane response to the Islamic State. And for all you people that say, but they're so bad, look what they did to the Christians. It's already lost. The Christians are gone. There's no response that is going to bring them back. They're gone. America is responsible for them being gone, not the Islamic State. It was the American invasion of Iraq that sealed the Christian fate. When America started funding and arming the Mujahideen in Syria, it wiped out Syria's Christian population, sealed their fate. If you want to deal with the consequence of the Christians, then understand that you, as an American, are responsible for their demise. But they're gone. There's no protecting them anymore. It's over. And this notion of trying to protect Zoroastrians is the Zoroastrian minority is insane. And the idea of we're celebrating a unified Kurdish government where we're arming all three factions, the Sunnis, the Shia, and the Kurds, all of which are willing to annihilate one another as we speak. We're making a bad situation worse. We are literally pouring Jet A on an open wildfire. We can't fix this problem. All we can do is what we have done, which is to make it worse. It's time that we get rid of the bums in Washington who pretend that the Islamic State isn't Islamic, who pretend that Islam isn't the problem, who pretend that the problem is somehow a radical corruption of Islam as opposed to the Islam of Muhammad, the Islam of the Hadith, the Islam of the Quran. The problem is that we need to recognize that Islam is deadly, destructive, sadistic, uncivilized, counterproductive. To ban it, to expose it, to condemn it, and to isolate it. If we stop buying OPEC oil, if we stop arming these Islamic regimes, the problem will cease to exist. The Kurds, of course, are appealing for military aid. They're also asking the Kurdish Workers' Party, the PKK, that the Turks consider a terrorist organization, because the PKK representing the Kurds won't capitulate with the Turkish oppression, that they're now asking members of the PKK to join them in their great jihad and join the Peshmerga. Turkish PKK rebels issued a call for young men in Turkey to join the fight in northern Syria. The youth of northern Kurdistan, southeast Turkey, should go to Kobani and to take part in the historic honorable resistance, the Kurdistan Workers' Party said in a statement on its website. Yes, it is an honorable, historic opportunity for you to be a jihadist. Go, young man, get killed, and find your way into Allah's brothel. It's posted on YouTube, which means it must be authentic, by the YPG. The YPG is Young People for God? No, it's the main Kurdish armed group in Syria. Appeared to show Kurdish fighters armed with assault rifles and rocket-propelled grenades battling a tank flying the Islamic State's black flag west of Kobani. So we have another group, the YPG, which are the Kurdish armed group in Syria. Now, what's interesting is that the Kurds and Assad in Syria have been buds. Syria is the only country that essentially leaves the Kurds alone. The Kurds are harassed in Turkey, where they're the PKK. And they are, the Turks oppress the Kurds mercilessly. And then the Kurds are demonized in northern Iran. They have no rights. And the Kurds, because they turned on their fellow Iraqis during the Iraq-Iranian war and fought on behalf of Iran while citizens of Iraq, became hated in Iran, in Iraq. Now they have no friends. The closest thing the Kurds have to an ally was Assad, who simply left them alone. And so the Kurds in Syria have been an ally of Assad. And now the Kurds in Syria are fighting the Islamic State, which is a foe of Assad. So they're fighting on behalf of Assad. And now America wants to arm them even more. About 3,000 men, women, and children arrived in the Turkish border, roughly 10 miles from Kobani, but were still waiting on the Syrian side after night fell. Yeah, the Turkish forces stopped them from being able to cross the border. No, the Turks aren't going to show any humanitarian care or support for their fellow Muslims. No way. You just look at the Turks and say, you cross that border, we're going to gun you down. Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu said that the governors of border provinces in Turkey, where Kurdish militants have waged a three-decade insurgency to push for greater autonomy, have been ordered to extend aid to the refugees on the Syrian side of the border. Yeah, the Turks and the Kurds are arch enemies, even though the Kurds dominate eastern Turkey. The group was using tanks, rockets, and artillery in the attack. We call on world powers to halt this barbaric assault by ISIS. So, if using tanks, rockets, and artillery on civilian communities is barbaric, and that the world community should move to stop it, why was the United States and Europe supporting the Kiev regime as they used tanks, rockets, and artillery to bombard Luhansk and Donetsk? Why is it considered inappropriate in Syria and appropriate in the Ukraine? Western states have expanded contact with the main Syrian Kurdish party, the PYD, since the Islamic State seized wide areas in Iraq in June. The YPG, which is the main Kurdish armed group in Syria, says it has 50,000 fighters, which makes them at least 50% larger than the Islamic State worldwide. So if the Islamic State is split between Iraq and Syria, and let's say that they are the maximum the CIA gives them credit to be, there's only 15,000 of them in Syria. And here you got 50,000 Syrian Kurds armed to the hilt. Why does America need to engage? Where have they been? Why did they just lose their most important city along with 20-some-odd villages? Can somebody not count? Are we just oblivious to what is really happening there? But the Syrian Kurds' relationship with the West is complicated, according to this journalist, because of their ties to the PKK, a group listed as a terrorist organization in many Western states because of the militant campaign they have waged for Kurdish rights in Turkey. Yeah, they're actually not a terrorist organization. They're a guerrilla organization. They're kind of like the IRA. The IRA very seldom savaged civilians. They almost always attacked British government troops, British police, British law enforcement, those who oppressed them from the British government. That's it's using guerrilla tactics. That's not a terrorist attack. The PKK is the same thing. They attack the infrastructure of Turkey that is oppressing them. We'll be back in a moment. Yes, the Syrian Kurd, the relationship with the West is complicated because they've always been considered a terrorist organization because the West is in bed with Turkey, which is a fundamentalist Islamic state, and Turkey has oppressed the Kurdish population within its country for more than a century. Western officials also cite concerns about the Syrian Kurds' relationship with President Bashar al-Assad, who has mostly left the Kurds to their own devices while focusing his attention on fighting the terrorists who are attacking him, the very terrorists that America is now fighting, but who previously America armed. So the Syrian Kurds are in league with Assad. Oh, boy, what a mess we have over in this part of the world. Obama's plans to expand support for groups fighting the Islamic State in Syria have focused mostly on Sunni Muslim insurgents deemed moderate by Washington. A Sunni Muslim jihadist that is a moderate. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of those in the world. In fact, I would think that if you surveyed the world of Sunni jihadists, that you would find exactly 0% of the Sunni jihadists worldwide to be moderate. In fact, according to the Quran, it is absolutely impossible. Perhaps the White House needs a copy of the Quran. Perhaps someone should offer them a copy of the Quran so they can read the ninth surah to ascertain the truth that there is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. Dateline is Beirut. This is from the Associated Press. It's on the similar story of the great success yesterday of the Islamic State. It reads, the Islamic State fighters, backed by tanks, have captured 16 Kurdish villages. They're five shy, then, of what the Kurds themselves are claiming. Over the past 24 hours in northern Syria, near the Turkish border, prompting civilians to flee their homes amid fears of retribution by the extremists sweeping through the area. They're not extremists, they're fundamentalists. For more than a year, the Islamic State group and the Kurdish militias have been locked in a fierce fight in several pockets in northern Syria where large Kurdish populations reside. By the way, the Kurds are Muslims. And obviously, now that America has declared war on the Islamic State, they are so powerful that it's no longer a fierce fight. The Kurds were pulverized. The clashes are but one aspect of Syria's broader civil war, a multi-layered conflict that the UN says has killed more than 190,000 people. You know, the civil war in Syria was initially viewed by the Obamanator as a uprising of Democrats and liberals in Syria who were uncomfortable with the dictatorship of Bashar al-Assad, and that it was part of the Arab Spring that they would assert their independence from this dictator. And it was never that. It was a reaction of the Saudi Arabians and the Qataris and the Kuwaitis and, to a lesser degree, the Turks to the huge upswelling of Iranian Shiite influence throughout the heartland of Islam. This upswelling of Iranian influence in Shia Islam occurred because the United States invaded Iraq, broke it, and then gave Iraq to Iran. Which means that Syria, which was a client of Iraq, was now a client of Iran. And then with Hezbollah, Iran took over Lebanon and controlled a huge swath of land. Not only Iran and Iraq, but also Syria and Lebanon. And they became the dominant player in the heartland of Islam. Well, that scared the bejesus out of the Saud family of warlords in Saudi Arabia, in the fiefdom of Saudi Arabia. It scared the bejesus out of the dictators in Kuwait. Scared the bejesus out of the dictators in the United Arab Emirates, including the Qataris. So they started a proxy war. And the means to that proxy war were Sunni Muslim jihadists who would sacrifice life and limb to earn jihad points if properly armed to fight the Assad regime, since it was now in bed with Shia Islam. Only the monster they created, they couldn't control. And the monster became so powerful and so well armed that the monster ignored the border between Syria and Iraq and moved into Iraq, which the Saudis were initially pleased by. So were the Qataris. So were the Kuwaitis. Because these Sunni Muslim jihadists were now weakening Iran's influence in Iraq. Ah, it was all good. Until they established their own caliphate, until they acknowledged that they were an Islamic state. Until they became the most powerful, the most popular, the best armed, the best financed, the best managed Islamic terrorist group in world history, and all of a sudden the Frankensteinian Islamic monster that the United States, Saudi Arabia, the Qataris, and the Kuwaitis had built was a threat to their very survival. And now, what's the answer to all that? More weapons, more bombs, make more of a mess of this whole thing. And in the midst of all of this, you have the Kurds, the largest racial group in the world without a homeland of their own. The United States was opposed to giving the Kurds a homeland during its invasion of Iraq. It would have been the sensible thing to do, but we weren't sensible. The Turks have always been opposed to allowing the Kurds independence. So have the Iranians. So have the Iraqis. And so now the Kurds are using all of this to establish their military and to declare their independence. Well, in a region that didn't need another belligerent group. So now you not only have the Kurds who want to fight for their own independence, and that puts them at odds with Turkey and Iran and with Iraq, but you have Sunni Mujahideen that are trying to take over both Syria and Iraq, which is angering the Iranians and the Syrians. And now that very group that the West has promoted, the West is trying to bomb. I would say that it is indeed a complicated situation. The Islamic State militants in this article were successful in causing all of these towns to surrender to them. The Kurds are saying that the Islamic State group fighters will commit massacres against civilians. Now, you know, you fought them. Deal with the consequence. It's not our job to protect you. Nawaf Khalil, a spokesman for Syria's most powerful Kurdish Democratic Union Party, and there's no democratic nor union among Kurds. The Kurdish fighters withdrew or lost up to 20 villages in the Kobani region. The battles that are taking place in Kobani are the most violent, Khalil said, adding the Islamic State group fighters are using tanks in their offensive. Khalil called on Kurds around the world to come to Syria to defend Kobani. Like many fronts of the Syrian civil war, momentum in the fight between the extremists and the Kurds. Now, by the way, the Kurds have been the most extremist group in this area. And the Islamic State fighters are fundamentalists. They're not extremists. Has swung back and forth. Earlier this week, for example, Kurdish fighters captured 14 villages from the Islamic State and other parts of Syria. Now the Kurds have been forced out of villages elsewhere. Well, that was a bit of bravado that backfired. Still, the retreat marked a setback for the battle-hardened Kurdish forces known as the People's Protection Units. Oh boy, that's great. The militia, which is known by the initials YPK, has been perhaps the most successful in force fighting the Islamic State, which has routed Iraqi and Syrian government forces. Last month, the YPK crossed the border into Iraq and opened a safe passage for members of the ancient Yazidi minority who were attacked by the Islamic State. The fighting around Kobani is part of the Islamic State's wider battle in Syria as the group looks to seize control of more of the northeast in Syria. The Syrian government, meanwhile, has begun targeting the group with greater frequency since they overran most of northern and western Iraq. Before that, Bashar al-Assad has largely left the group alone, instead focusing his firepower on the rebels that came from Aleppo and regions in the northwest of Syria. On Thursday, government helicopter gunships attacked a northern town of Al-Bab, which is controlled by the Islamic State group, killing at least a dozen people, the local coordination committee activist group said. It said a helicopter dropped a barrel bomb packed with explosives on a bakery. And by the way, the Syrians know Syria vastly better than the Americans do, vastly better than the French do, vastly better than the Qatari and Saudi Arabians do, all of which are going to be flying armed bombing missions now into Syria. If the Syrian government, from a helicopter, at low speed, dropped their bomb on a bakery, what do you think the odds are of those unfamiliar with Syria doing a better job? A new video has been released showing a British man believed to be held as a hostage by the Islamic State. They claim in this video that this man was released, a show of mercy by the Islamic State, even though the video is entitled, Lend Me Your Ears. The security analyst working for the BBC said that the video of the hostage speaking to the camera was a kind of parody of a chat show and a very much of a propaganda video. Well, that being the case, and it probably was, why was the Foley video considered anything other than a propaganda video, a parody of a chat show? Because there wasn't an execution in it. There certainly wasn't a beheading. Although I do like the title, Lend Me Your Ears. It's perfect for Islam. Lend me your ears, lend me your head. Lend me your arms, lend me your legs, and I will lend you my knife. Thank you very much. This video didn't end with an overt threat, and the person, like those in the previous videos, is reading from a script. There is no knife or gun being held to the individual's head, and the evidence suggests that this individual was released. Bad news from Nigeria. Now, in Nigeria is where you have Boko Haram. It's where they have kidnapped 300 little girls and have systematically raped those girls. In fact, the girls that actually escaped from Boko Haram said that they were raped on average of 15 times a day. Now, this is a catastrophe of Muslim men kidnapping and then raping little girls that the world yawns over, doesn't want to do a darn thing about. We call the Ebola crisis an epidemic when Boko Haram, the fundamentalist Islamic group in Nigeria, is vastly more deadly and destructive and menacing, vastly more hurtful and harmful. Well, Nigeria is a tough country to partner with. It's half Christian, half Islamic. And now there is irrefutable evidence that Nigeria has a torture officer in most of its jails, prisons, and associated with the court systems. Both the military and police use a wide range of torture, including beatings, pulling out one's nails, yanking out teeth, and also rape. One woman, accused of theft in Lagos, said that she was raped. She said after the rape, they sprayed tear gas into her vagina. The Nigerian government has not yet responded to the claims by Amnesty International of its draconian methods. Entitled Welcome to Hellfire, it says people are often detained in large dragnet operations, not accused of any crime, and they're tortured as part of the process, all to extort money or to extract confessions as a way to solve cases. The use of torture is particularly extreme in the northeast in the war against Boko Haram. The UK base group, Amnesty International, says that between 5,000 and 10,000 people have been detained and tortured by the state operatives of Nigeria since 2009. A teenage boy pictured at the top was among 50 people arrested by the army in the Yobe state last year on suspicion of being a member of Boko Haram. At the time, he was 15 years old and spent 3 weeks in custody where he was beaten continuously with gun batons, with gun butts, batons, and machetes. Arrested in 2013, along with other hotel staff, after two guns and a human skull were found, they were beaten and detained in a van for hours and then taken to an anti-robbery squad. I was thrown inside of a cell. I noticed written on a sign in the wall, "Welcome to Hellfire." I was taken to the interrogation room. There was a police officer at one end and two suspects who were chained to a wall on the other. I saw ropes streaming down from the ceiling, bags of sand elevated on the perimeter wall, and the along a fence, and various types of rods and metal of different shapes and sizes. I heard the screams from the victims being tortured. I saw buckets of water on standby in case anyone faints or opts out or opts to die before their signature torture events were actually consummated or they confessed.